Hi, welcome to Cochrane Alliance Church and our online sermons. We are so glad you are able to join us. We pray that this sermon will be a blessing and an encouragement to you this week.
Well, it's great to see you all here this morning. We are continuing in our Jesus Is series, and this is Jesus Is the Living God. And I heard about a Christian organization the other day, and this was their statement of beliefs. The Bible is divine, righteousness is its aim, and eternal life is its end. God is our Father, life is our opportunity, and heaven is our home. The Bible is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway, and the only sure guide to right living. It is the book of books and reveals the only true God. The cross is a symbol of sacrifice and service, a symbol of faith, hope, and love. Christ is the light of the world who drives away darkness. Now that sounds like a pretty solid set of beliefs and values, doesn't it? Looks like things that we believe and stand for. But what if I was to tell you that that was all from the imperial instructions for members of the KKK? The same KKK that killed thousands of African Americans and Jews through racial terror lynchings. It doesn't make sense, does it? How does a group that believes all of these things, which are true, by the way, these are biblical statements of truth, how does a group that believes these things go on to commit such atrocities against other human beings? This picture highlights the hypocrisy. Members of the KKK standing below a sign that says, Jesus saves. How does that belief, Jesus saves, lead to that kind of action? Racism, torture, and murder. I think it's pretty clear for us today that although these written beliefs about Jesus may be true, they do not reflect the actual Jesus that we see in Scripture. Their beliefs about Jesus are true. Jesus saves. That's a true statement. But the Jesus they were referring to was one of their own making, one who completely reflected their own ideology and hateful perspective. To visualize it, their life, which includes their behavior, words, and actions, was directed by their beliefs, which at least in word are true. But their beliefs were founded on an inaccurate and incredibly dangerous source. Where we get our beliefs shapes what our beliefs are, and our beliefs in turn direct our actions. We'll dive deeper into this idea a little bit later on. But it makes me think of a fascinating quote from A.W. Tozer. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. For this reason, the gravest question before the church is always God himself. And the most pretentious, you're probably smarter than me and know what that means. I had to look it up. It means predictive. The most pretentious, predictive fact that any man, about any man is not what he at any given time may say or do, but what he in his deep heart conceives God to be like. And I love this last line. We tend by a secret law of the soul to move toward our mental image of God. We tend by a secret law of the soul to move toward our mental image of God. What we believe about God directly informs our words, actions, and decisions. Our life is directed by our beliefs, and not just our beliefs in general, but like Tozer says, our beliefs about God. Is God good, loving, and holy? Those that believe this will reflect it. Is God hateful, harsh, and vindictive? Those that believe this will reflect it. Just like the KKK and countless other groups that did terrible things in the name of Jesus throughout history. What we believe about God is the most important thing about us. And Jesus gets to the heart of this essential question with his disciples in Matthew chapter 16. If you have your Bibles or phones, you can open up to Matthew 16, starting at verse 13. It'll also be up on the screens. Verse 13 says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Jesus asked his disciples a simple and fascinating question. Who do people say that I am? What's the word on the street? And his disciples answer by naming some very well-known people from the Old Testament. Some say John the Baptist, the messenger of national repentance. Some say Elijah, the famous worker of miracles. Some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets, the ones who spoke on behalf of God to the people. And none of these are bad titles. They aren't even untrue titles. Jesus preached the message of repentance like John the Baptist. He performed amazing miracles like Elijah. He spoke boldly and directly from God like Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But all of these titles still underestimate who Jesus really is. He is those things, yet so much more. So Jesus narrows his question. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say that I am? That's what the people say, but what about you, my followers? Who am I to you? It's interesting what Jesus is doing here. By asking this question, he's implying that his followers are to see things differently, to think differently, to act differently than the rest of the world. Yes, they might say this, but you are called to be different. What do you say? Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Peter says a whole lot in just a few short words here. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Let's start with Messiah. What does he mean when he says that Jesus is the Messiah? Well, the Messiah is the anointed one, the one who would be both a priest and king to deliver and rule over Israel. And the Jewish people have been waiting for the Messiah for, well, forever. Here's a video that shows a little bit of the timeline of the prophecies about the Messiah and how long the Jewish people were waiting for him to come. As you can see in the video, all throughout the Old Testament, the Messiah was prophesied about, that this anointed one, the one who would be both a priest and a king, would deliver and rule over Israel. And the people waited and waited. And in their waiting, they saw their own kings and rulers fail. They saw other nations destroy them, exile them. There seemed to be no hope, but there was still a promise of the Messiah. But from that last prophecy about the Messiah in the book of Malachi to the birth of Jesus, there was 400 years of silence. 400 years. no prophecy, no word from God about this deliverer, nothing. Imagine how easy it would be to lose hope. So when Peter sees Jesus and declares that he is the Messiah, this is no small thing. He's saying that Jesus is the one. He's the one that Peter's people have been waiting for since the beginning of the world. The one who will deliver and rule over Israel. Think about the joy. For hundreds of years, people waited for this Messiah, and now Peter is fortunate enough not only to be alive at the same time as this Messiah, but to serve alongside him hand in hand. The one we have waited for since the beginning of time is here. Peter then calls Jesus the Son of the Living God. Not only is Jesus the Messiah, the representative of God sent to deliver Israel and speak on behalf of God, but he's actually God himself. For Jews, to claim that someone was the Son of the Living God was to say that that person, in fact, was divine. God didn't just send someone else to the earth to do his dirty work, but he actually came himself as a human being to seek and save the lost. And living God also provides a contrast with the other gods of the day. Whereas the other gods were idols, non-living and non-active, the true God is a living God who is active and moving in the life of his people. He's not distant or uninterested in us, but he is living, present, and active in our lives. So Peter makes this grand declaration, you are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. And Jesus commends him for it. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Jesus is telling Peter that his beliefs about him are correct because his source is good. The Father himself has revealed this truth to Peter. This isn't something that he just came up with on his own. He didn't just conjure up this truth. It was revealed to him by God himself. I mentioned earlier the story about the KKK. Their terrible actions came from a belief about Jesus, and that belief was formed by their dangerously inaccurate sources. Our life and behavior flows from our beliefs about Jesus, and our beliefs about Jesus come from somewhere. Fortunately for Peter, at least for a few moments, his source is good. But that changes pretty quickly. In verse 21, it says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Well, that escalated quickly, didn't it? Peter was doing so well. What happened? You do not have in mind the concerns of God, yet merely human concerns. Peter drifted from the source. The truth about Jesus was revealed to him by the Father, but almost immediately after, it got distorted by what Jesus calls human concerns. And these human concerns refer to Peter's own expectations, but also the opinions of others about who this Messiah should be. Since Peter sees the Messiah as an earthly political ruler, he can't imagine why Jesus would have to suffer and die. Why would you suffer and die when we have waited so long for you to rule and reign over our enemies? It just doesn't make sense to Peter. And he's likely listening to the voices of others as well. It's probably why Jesus first asked the disciples what others were saying about him. He knew his disciples had heard the chatter. He knew that they were influenced by others. And he knows that we aren't much different. It's so easy for us to impose our own expectations on who Jesus should be. It's so easy for us to be influenced and swayed by others' words and perspectives about who Jesus is or isn't. Our source can be so easily distorted. And when the source is distorted, our beliefs about Jesus are shaky. And that leads to our behavior and actions drifting far from who we are called to be. Jesus then tells Peter the truth. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Well, that's a little different than what they expected. To be honest, I think that's a lot different than what we expect. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, is not a statement of power and status, but one of humility and service and suffering. And this is not an easy life that Jesus is describing, denying myself, taking up my cross, losing my life. You don't see that cross stitched on a pillow, but it's the life that Jesus lived, and it's the life that he's calling us to live. And it makes me ask this question, if the way I live my life doesn't look like this, denying myself, taking up my cross, following Jesus, then what are my beliefs about Jesus? And maybe even more importantly, where am I getting those from? Do I really know him? Or am I believing in a version of Jesus that I've crafted for myself? And I don't say that to cast doubt on everyone. Wait, do I actually believe in Jesus? This guy's making me nervous. That's not my desire to sow seeds of doubt. But I do think we need to consistently evaluate whether we are following Jesus as revealed by him, or if we're following our personal preference Jesus, the one who believes exactly what we believe and acts exactly how we act. And the answer is not just to change our behaviors. It's not even necessarily to change our beliefs. But the real question is our source. What are we letting influence our beliefs and in turn our behaviors and actions? Are we defining Jesus by our own expectations? Are we defining Jesus by what others say about him? Or are we defining Jesus by what God has revealed to us? Like Jesus said to Peter, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And God reveals the truth to us in many ways. We have the Bible, often referred to as special revelation, God's own words given to us to know his heart and hear his voice. We also have what we call general revelation. Romans 1 verse 20 says, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God has made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. God has revealed himself to us through nature, through his creation, through beauty, through humanity. God has revealed himself through dreams and visions, through the voice of the Holy Spirit, through the stories of his people, through acts of love and selflessness amongst his community. God has revealed himself to us. And sometimes it's miraculous and unexpected. I think of Muslims all around the world who have seen dreams and visions of Jesus. They weren't seeking him, but he revealed himself in a powerful way. He reveals himself even when we aren't looking for him. But he also promises us that if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. And those who search will surely find me. It's both things. He has revealed himself to us, and we are to seek him with our whole heart. And so that's what we want to do from now until the beginning of December. I mean, we want to do it past that point too, but that's as long as the teaching series. You're done after December. We want to discover who Jesus is as revealed by God's word. Each week, we'll look at a declaration about who Jesus is. And for each of these, we want to fill in the blank. Jesus is, so I. For example, Jesus is the one who calms the storm, so I do not need to be afraid. How does our belief about who Jesus is actually inform and direct the way that we think, act, and live? I like what Brent said last week. We're not just called to be believers who hold the right information, but we're called to be followers who actually reflect the life of Jesus. Our beliefs about Jesus don't just stay as beliefs. How do they direct the way that we live our lives? And as we go through this over the next few months, we don't just want you to take our word for it. Yes, we'll journey this road together through our sermons on Sunday, but we encourage you to seek Jesus for yourself. Read the word for yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak. Have conversations with others that bring you closer to Jesus. Seek him and you will find him. And as I was talking about this message with Brent and Jason, it felt like a really great time to also share about something new and exciting that we would want you to be a part of. As a church, we want to be a community that seeks Jesus with our whole hearts. We want to be a community that grows closer to Jesus together. You might have seen those three signs out behind the info desk in the atrium there. Belong, grow, and serve. As we follow Jesus, we want to be a family that grows together to become more and more like him. And so we want to provide a variety of resources and opportunities to do just that, to grow together, to seek Jesus together. And we're calling it, very simply, Growing Together. If you go to our website, you'll see a fresh new button on our homepage, and it says Grow, there it is, with the arrow pointing to it. And if you click on that, you'll be taken to a page that looks like this. And there's kind of four categories at the bottom. Foundational life, we are built upon the foundation of Jesus. Spiritual life, we're empowered by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Rooted life, we're strengthened by the presence of God, particularly in the hard seasons of life. And outward life, we are equipped to share our life with others. And so for each of these categories, there's three different ways to grow. Opportunities to grow on your own, one-on-one, and also with others. And so I just wanted to give a little bit of a sneak peek, a little bit of a snapshot into what this looks like, and then I would encourage you to check it out as well and see if there's anything that God is calling you to step into as you grow as a part of this community. So, for example, if we clicked on rooted life, this would come up. And so there's a bit of a description of what we mean by the rooted life. The last paragraph there, sometimes life can be painful, heavy, and unbearable. What do we do when we face difficulty and tragedy in our lives? How do we grow our roots down so we can stand strong in the face of sin, temptation, tragedy, sickness, and the enemy? And then it explains that below there's resources on your own, one-on-one, and with others. And so on your own, one of the things we have is podcasts. So Brent and I have been recording some conversations, which has been lots of fun. We've enjoyed it. We'll see if you do, but we had a good time with it. And there's, under Foundational Life, we kind of have a few of these about the basics of what we do as a church. So what is church? What is the Bible? What is prayer, worship, communion, baptism, mission, that sort of stuff. And so you can listen to it just audio only. You can watch the video as well. We've been told that we have faces for radio. So if you agree with that and you'd rather not watch us, you can do the audio only version. But we'll only be partially offended if that's what you choose. And then also there's episode summaries for each of those. So there's kind of a one page that goes through that. In addition to podcasts, we also have sermons. And so this is from our Rooted Life, just different sermons that we've done over the last few years that kind of apply to this topic. And so these ones are a bunch of ones about the difficult things in life, God's presence in our pain, trials and suffering, disappointment, temptation, that sort of thing. Then there's also reading, and so this is from Spiritual Life section. Maybe some of you are avid readers, maybe some of you are not, but you enjoy a good audiobook while you're driving. These are some recommendations that we have that we've just found as really beneficial in our own spiritual journey. So there's some on the Holy Spirit, a few on spiritual practices there as well. And lastly, and on your own, there's also just general resources. So that first one, actually, Brent told me about this. I had no idea. Rocky Mountain College here in Calgary runs a completely free Intro to the Bible course, which is online, which is really cool. So if you want to dive more into the Bible and more about the inspiration and history and all that sort of stuff, that's available. Maybe you've watched some Bible Project videos before. They're great videos that help to just make the Bible come alive and explain difficult portions of it. And then at the end, Right Now Media as well, this has kind of been told as the Christian Netflix. And so as a church, you are able to get that for free. So if you click on that, you can get access to that. There's videos for kids, and then there's great kind of small group content as well. Just because we're talking about seeking Jesus today, one of the things I wanted to draw your attention to is these spiritual practice guides. And there's so many different spiritual practices and ways to connect with Jesus and spend time with him. And so we have a few of these kind of one-page documents that pick a spiritual practice and just kind of explain a bit about what it is and then walk through basically how to do it. Now, this isn't like you follow these steps exactly and something amazing will happen, but it's really just a starting point. And so this is for something called Lectio Divina. There's another one we have called Praying the Psalms as well. If you go to the next slide there. This one's simple, just how are you feeling today? And based on your emotion, feeling afraid, alone, there's a psalm that you can pray as your own psalm. And as you see next right there, it says there's praying scripture, listening prayer, intercessory prayer, all of those things. So there's different spiritual practices if you want to try something new and to step into that. So that's all kind of on the on your own portion. There's lots of things to be able to do. We also want to grow one-on-one. This isn't just a solo mission. We are a community. And so if you, maybe it's while reading one of these books or connecting, you would like to be able to talk with someone more, you can just fill this out. Email will go to me and we'll get you connected with a trusted person who's passionate in this area who would love to meet one-on-one with you. And lastly, we want to grow with others. And so we just talked a bunch about small groups today. There's great small groups to get involved in. And also there's some upcoming events that relate to the spiritual life. And so I was talking with Donna earlier this week and she told me about this virtual prayer meeting, which I did not know existed. And it's a group of our people who meet on Zoom on Thursday mornings to pray. And they said, hey, it's open. Other people can come too. So if you want to grow in prayer, you can be a part of that. The details are on the website. And also we have an event called Life on the Balcony coming up, which is about spiritual formation. You can check that out as well. The last thing I just wanted to, worship team, you can come on up. I always forget that without fail. The last thing I want to kind of draw your attention to is on the outward life, this idea of serving others. Man, there are so many amazing ways to serve people. And so within our own church, you might have seen the volunteer hub as you came in. There's also a digital version of that. If you want to get connected and serve in our community, there's lots of opportunities. And then there's amazing opportunities to serve in our own town in Cochrane. Helping Hands is such an amazing organization. I've been blown away by them. They provide opportunities to serve those in our community. And so maybe you're one of those kind of practical doers and you like to move or make meals or help shovel or those sort of things. There's so many opportunities to do that. Maybe you like the idea of just walking alongside people who are maybe in a difficult season. One of the things that they do, they call it check-in for isolated individuals. There are some people that have said, hey, I just would appreciate really a friend, someone who would text, would call, would check in with me. They're always looking for people who can do that. Or also caring for our neighbors. There's people, whether illness or injury, just need someone to help around the house and to help them as they recover. And so you can go to their website and there's so many opportunities to be able to do that. That was a lot of information. I understand that. That was a lot. Thanks so much for sticking with me. There's a lot of things on our website to check out, and we'll be constantly updating it and adding new things as well. And if I could ask you one thing, it would be this. Take some time to check out Growing Together this week. We didn't put this together to say, here are the approved resources and opportunities of Cochrane Alliance Church. Stray outside these at your own peril. That's not at all our heart in this. There are many other resources out there that are great, and if you have something that works for you, please continue to do that. These are simply resources and opportunities that have helped us in our spiritual journey, and we wanted to pass them on to you as well. And maybe you've never tried to seek Jesus and spend time with him, and if so, now sounds like a pretty good time to start. We hope that something here can be beneficial to you as you start this journey of seeking Jesus. Maybe you're in a spiritually dry season right now and need a reignition, a refreshment in your seeking of Jesus. We hope that this might provide that spark. Maybe you're seeking Jesus wholeheartedly and walking close with him. That is great. Maybe there's something new here that you can step into. Maybe you've never tried Lectio Divina or listening prayer. Maybe you'd love to see how you can use your gifts to serve others in our church or in our community. We'd love for you to explore new practices and serving opportunities. So all of this is not just about a bunch of content or consuming a bunch of content. We just want to be a family that seeks Jesus together. We want to be a church that grows closer to Jesus together. And that through seeking him as he's revealed himself to us, that our faith in Jesus will grow deeper and stronger to the point that our behavior, our words, our actions, our whole life looks more and more like Jesus. And so Jesus has revealed himself to us. He's right here with us. Will you seek him? There's so much more than we could ever ask or imagine. Let's pray and then we'll sing together. Jesus, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. And sometimes you reveal yourself when we're not even looking for you. But Jesus, you also call us to seek you. And one of the beautiful things about being part of a community like this is that we can do it together. We can grow closer to you together. And so God, I just pray over our community for all of those who call Cochrane Alliance home. Would we be people who grow together to become more and more like you? Would we just constantly see the people around us growing to be more like you, Jesus? And through that, that we would see you do amazing things in our town. That we would see lost people become found. That we'd see people who are broken be restored. That we would see those who are dead to be made alive in you, Jesus. So Jesus, we seek you. That's what you ask us to do. And with that invitation, you give a promise that if we seek you, we will find you. So Jesus, make us more like you. I pray this in your powerful name. Amen.